Welcome to worship. It's great to connect with you, to be a part of your life as you're a part of the life of Christ in this body of Christ. My name's Rockford Johnson, and it's a great joy to be one of the pastors here and serve with you as this church and with so many gifted leaders. As we come into worship today, let us prepare our hearts and come with intent to hear the voice of the Spirit together. Would you let us know you're worshiping with us by clicking on the link in the chat box if you're on Facebook, or going to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and there on a tap or click on the online worship button and find the way to let us know that you're worshiping with us. We appreciate you doing that very much. We want to be in connection with you. You can also leave us your prayer concerns and joys and celebrations by going to our website front page and find that red prayer request button and tapping or clicking there and letting us know how we can be in prayer with you and for you. It is our joy and our desire to do that very thing. Our senior associate pastor, Wendy Neal, is going to share some items of information with you about the life and ministry of our church.
McFarland, it is so wonderful to be worshiping with you today and to proclaim with you that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is Scout Sunday, and we are blessed at McFarland to sponsor Troop 241. Last Sunday, members of the troop served as ushers during our parking lot service, and we are always so grateful for their presence in worship and at church dinners and collecting food for our food pantry. Troop 241 just celebrated its 100th anniversary, and they have continued to find ways to meet each week during the pandemic. You may not know, but Scouts in Troop 41 have earned the rank of Eagle Scout 145 times throughout its history. We are so proud of all of the members of Troop 41 and so grateful for their service. Just a reminder that the UMW Spiritual Formation Retreat is happening this Saturday, February 13th. It is a virtual event, and if you would like more information or would like to register for that, please go onto our website where you can find all of that information. Also, we're rolling out plans to start relaunching in-person small groups and worship in the building, and we are so excited about this. Please go onto our website where you can find more information about that, how to gather in the building, and when that will be happening. Also today, we are continuing with our sermon series called Soul Reset. We are following the book by that name written by the Reverend Junius Dotson, his story about his journey to finding healing and wholeness. I know that you will be blessed today. Today is also Communion Sunday, and so if you don't have your bread and your juice ready yet, please go and get those so you'll be able to participate with us in Holy Communion later in the service. Today is such a great day to give our praise and our thanks to God. And so as we begin this time of worship, let us join in singing together.
McFarland, though the pandemic disrupts and hurts, let us affirm our confidence in God together.
God is with us, and we are filled with hope by the power of the Spirit.
We are in this together. We engage faithfully in worship, discipleship, and mission.
We pray, share, and care for each and all who suffer.
We seek God's wisdom, listen to medical leaders, act, and sacrifice to keep people safe.
We pray, plan, and work both now and for the future.
We are together for the day when we all gather again.
We follow Jesus faithfully. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God of all hope and our help in ages past, again and again we have heard your voice in the muddle of our trouble and in the middle of happiness and joy. We have found you faithful to offer us wisdom and direction at all times. We pray today as a grateful company of disciples. When we recall the long history of your faithfulness, we find courage and strength. And so we praise you, for you are in us and among us, just as surely as the wind blows so persistently across the plains of Oklahoma. Sun risings and sun settings remind us of the beauty of your holiness and of the sanctity of your clear and mysterious presence. So close that we feel you, and so expansive and extensive that we feel our smallness and we are humbled. In times of crisis, both large and small, both individual and together with friends or even with enemies, you are with us. Your grace is sufficient. Help us not only to trust, but to act graciously to those around us and kindly to ourselves. Empower us not only to claim to believe, but to take practical steps to demonstrate our faith. Guide us not only to yearn or plead for help, but to do the good that we have learned to do by walking with you in the Spirit. And when we don't know what to do, where to turn, what step to take, send us to friends with good counsel. Show us good wisdom in your word. Impress new and strategic insights upon the heart of our minds so that we may know how to walk in your light. We know, O God, that every day has enough trouble of its own and that we need not worry about tomorrow. Still, we look ahead and wonder what tomorrow brings, and we look ahead with hope. We are living in a crisis of health, but we look with hope, knowing that help and healing are possible. Any of us may be in a crisis just past, or maybe a crisis that we will experience in the future, either temporary or chronic. small or large. But of this we are sure and certain, in you we do have confidence. In the way of Jesus, we have redemption and a mission that inspires us. In the Spirit, we have light and your voice and strength to lead and empower us. And so together, hear our prayers in the name and for the way of Jesus. Amen.
As we enter into that time of our service where we give and receive of our offering, I am captured by the hope of the anticipation of opening this beautiful building and beginning to meet some of your beautiful souls, knowing that so much has been behind us and that God has so much before us. That God has great things in store for the life of McFarland. And so I ask that you would continue to give, to continue to support the life and ministries here of this church. You're invited to do so. You can give by going to our website, McFarlandUMC.org, or giving through our application on your phone. You can also continue to mail in your gifts to the church. Church, there is beauty ahead. And I am excited to journey with all of you. Let us pray. Merciful God, help us have faith, knowing that what is now is not what is, that there is hope, that there is something coming on the horizon, that your sun is rising on the horizon. Help fill us with your light, that we might shine brightly for all the world to see. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the 77th chapter of the book of Psalms. I invite you to hear this word. I cry aloud to God that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, remember the years of long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give you so much thanks for your word and how you are so alive and present with us and speaking to our minds and our hearts today. God, help us to be open to what you have for us, and let us lay before you all that we are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why tear up every year on Christmas Eve as we light our candles and sing Silent Night together, walking up the aisle to share the light of Christ from my candle with you, and watching as the light is passed from one person to another, all the way from the front up to the very tip-top of the balcony, the space growing with light and your faces illuminated in the darkness, and voices joining together and singing phrases like, Son of God, love's pure light, and wondrous star, lend thy light. And my personal favorite that gets me every time, with the angels, let us sing Alleluia to our King, Christ the Savior is born. I tear up feeling that overwhelming love and presence of God and in that holy moment, and I really do believe and hope, whatever is going on in the world, that with God, all things are possible. They are happy tears that are shed in humility and gratitude. And the other moments like that for me in the church are singing for all the saints as the choir and the children process in carrying the banners representing loved ones who have passed, and being surrounded by all of the banners on that All Saints Day, and then standing and singing together the Hallelujah Chorus on Easter. There's just nothing like that. But this past year, we didn't get to experience any of that as we normally do. And so the tears that I cried on Christmas Eve this year were different tears. As we led the worship service that you watched online and we came down from the chancel area to light our candles, instead of walking down the aisles to share Christ's light with you, instead of seeing the sanctuary filled with light and seeing all of your faces and hearing 1,000 voices singing together, I stood in one of the pews in a nearly empty sanctuary and I wept so uncontrollably that I could barely stand or breathe. And I couldn't sing one word. And it wasn't that I didn't feel God's love or presence, because I do believe that God connects us in our worship even when we're not in the same physical space. I just think that those tears were the culmination of what had been the most challenging and painful and heartbreaking year of my life. And I don't think that I had really allowed myself at any point during the year to grieve all that had been lost during the pandemic. And so that night, I wasn't able to contain all of the feelings that I had been carrying inside being here that evening without you here. Grief is that deep sorrow that we experience after some kind of loss. We certainly grieve when a loved one passes away, but we also experience grief when we lose a job, or when a relationship is broken, or when we're isolated because of a pandemic, or when our lives no longer resemble the familiar. Loss comes in so many ways, and because we as human beings, we are made to share our lives and to live in community, we are made to develop deep bonds of love and connection with one another. We have a lot to lose. Grief is described as a process. It's one in which we pass through different stages, like denial and anger and bargaining and depression and acceptance. Grieving is a process that helps lead to healing and hope. But it is a painful process. This year, we are grieving several kinds of losses as a community all at once. We're grieving canceled travel plans and annual traditions. We're grieving things that we never thought we could lose, like the closure of our favorite parks and restaurants and businesses, or the ability to attend church or have a funeral here. Many of us are dealing with ambiguous losses, like a new college graduate grieving a job they never got the opportunity to have, or the final game athletes didn't get to play. We might feel a huge sense of loss about our inability to visit family members, even though we're still in contact with them remotely. Beyond this, we grieve with friends and even with strangers for their losses that don't directly affect us. But also, most of us feel some kind of anticipatory grief, where we're still trying to process expected losses that haven't happened yet, but which we fear will occur due to the loss of our basic sense of safety in the face of an invisible threat and an uncertain future. You know, our culture is so often focused on positive thinking in unhealthy ways that tempt us to skip over grief and just rush through the process of dealing with it. Sometimes we may even wonder why grieving friends or family members haven't moved on yet. Really, I think that part of it is that grieving requires us to be vulnerable in a way that is so painful and so uncomfortable that most of us would rather not feel that level of pain or discomfort. And so we bury it. But in this time of communal loss, when we are all grieving, we are given an opportunity to make space for sadness as an unavoidable part of life. We are invited in this time and in all times to bear one another's burdens, even as we carry the weight of our own. And if we allow for this time and this space to grieve, we may discover just how important the painful process of grieving actually is in order for healing to take place. We've been reading through Junius Dotson's book called Soul Reset during this sermon series, and we have heard his own story of loss and grief and how he came to find healing and wholeness. And he talks about a series of great losses that he experienced in 2012 in the chapter called Life in Crisis. In February, his mother died of a brain aneurysm, and he was the one who made the decision and how it had to tell the doctors to let her go. And then not long after that, he received a phone call from his brother letting him know that the man who he thought was his biological father, in fact, was not. And then in August, his brother died of a heart attack. And 2 weeks later, his grandmother passed. And about a month after that, one of his best friends from high school also died. And then in November of that year, Junius thought he was experiencing panic attacks. But the shortness of breath and the shakiness were actually due to clots he had developed in each of his lungs and in his left leg. He says, "I was literally on the verge of death. The doctors could not believe that I was sitting there alive. They said I was so lucky. I was lying in the hospital room on my bed, flat on my back. And that's what it took to get me to slow down long enough to get in touch with my grief. It was just right there under the surface." waiting to be dealt with. That experience, he says, was a wake-up call. And he reflects back on that time and he says, I never would have stopped working long enough to reflect on or deal with my grief over the year. Finally, there was time for me to be in deep, deep, deep prayer. The hospital stay was a turning point. It was the beginning of me saying, God, I need you to walk with me through my pain and my suffering. And God was saying back to him, you need to let me walk with you. And you need to let other people walk with you through this. He discovered just how much more he was losing by not allowing himself the time and the space to grieve. He was going from one thing to the next, trying to be strong and plow through, taking care of others first. Until all of it finally caught up with him, and he said that he was dying on the inside. He hadn't taken the time to feel what he was really feeling. And he knew that what he really needed was to share and process what he was feeling with people who loved him and who let him know that it was okay not to be okay. Asaph, the person who wrote Psalm 77 that we heard today, had come to a place in his life where he could no longer contain his grief either. We don't know exactly who he was. He might have been a music director in King David's court. And we don't know what happened in his life that brought him such great suffering and pain. All we know is that he is so deeply hurting and grieving that he is angry. He doesn't want to be comforted. He doesn't want anyone to try and make it better. He tries to pray, but he doesn't even have the will to do it. And he's so upset that he can't even speak. And he's mad at God for not making it all go away. He asks, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God in anger shut up all compassion? I wonder if you have ever felt that way. Have you ever asked God, when feeling tremendous pain, are you there? Do you even care? But then what makes this psalm so startling to me is that Asaph, he shifts completely from anger to hope. He says, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. And he says to God, you are the God who works wonders. You know, in the midst of his pain and his grief, all of a sudden he remembers that God has helped him and his people make it through painful times before. And he remembers when God redeemed Jacob and Joseph and brought their people out of exile. And he remembers how God led Moses and Aaron out of Egypt to the promised land. And he talks about God making his way through the waters and the rain and the storm. That God made a way forward for his people through the chaos in the past. And it's this memory that gives Asaph hope for the future. You know, memory holds great power in our lives. It's true for individuals, and it's true for communities. And when we're already grieving an unknown and uncertain future, sometimes the best thing that we have to hold on to, the thing that brings us real hope for the future, is our memory of how we have made it through thus far. We can look back at our past while also looking forward to our future, and we can say, we made it through that difficult time, and we will make it through this one. God is still with us. And when we're able to do that, perhaps we give ourselves a little more room to breathe and a little more trust that this is not the end and a little more conviction that our good days are not all in the past. You know, there is a beautiful ancient Middle Eastern custom of collecting tears in jars and keeping them displayed where you can see them. King David mentions this custom in Psalm 56. And archaeologists collect these jars. The National Museum in Jerusalem has a collection of these jars, and they have lids on them. When a person cried, he or she would go to the shelf for the tear bottle, and they would press it to his or her cheek, and they would gather in the tears. And when the storm of tears had passed, the bottle was carefully sealed and it was placed back up on the shelf where they could see them. The bottles were even sometimes labeled year after year, kind of like vintage wine. The summer of 2005, that's the time that we lost our grandmother, or the spring of 2013, the year that we lost everything in the tornado. The tears that we shed would be collected in their respective bottles and labeled as a way of remembering, of commemorating a life. In some traditions, there would be separate bottles for happy tears and for sad ones. And they were a tangible representation of their memories. It was something they could look to when they needed to be encouraged. Can you imagine a shelf in your family room lined with bottles carefully labeled year after year, bottle after bottle of all of your tears? What a way to measure your life by how much you have wept in joy and in sorrow. It's said that those whose tear bottles were the fullest of both sad tears and happy tears, those with the most tears, were the most esteemed in the community, because crying was a mark of having lived deeply and greatly and beautifully and meaningfully. Such a thing, it couldn't have been said lightly. Anyone listening today who's had their body heave with sobbing knows that this is not something that could be said lightly, that crying is a mark of living beautifully and fully. And we don't often make space for that in our lives, at least not when the tears come from a deeply sorrowful place, because grief doesn't feel beautiful or meaningful or great when you're going through it. We would rather get to the healing and the wholeness by another less painful route. And yet letting the tears flow, allowing ourselves to feel what we feel, sharing our experiences with people who care, and remembering the tears that we've shed before and how we've made it through that experience, it's cathartic. It's exactly what we need to do in order to heal. You know, I still cry sometimes being in this space without you here. And I grieve every day the losses that we have experienced together. But when I stand here, one thing that brings me great comfort and hope is my memory of you. I can't see you right now the way that you see me, but when I look out in this space, I remember where you sit, and I see your faces. Karen is up there in the balcony, and Paul and Sue are up there in the center, and the Infinite Christian class and the Seekers class are over here, and Matt and Lindsay are here, and Harris and Chris, and Beverly and Joe and Mary Lou. If I had time to name all of you, I would name all of you, because when I look out, I can see you. And I see you holding All Saints banners, and I see your faces lit up by the candle singing Silent Night. And my memory of you, it becomes my prayer for you and for all of us. Our love for each other, and our fellowship, and our worship, and our caring, and our serving in this place together, they are not just in the past. God will make sure of that. After Christmas Eve worship, I said to Pastor Rockford, I said, I can't wait for you to experience Christmas Eve at McFarland when we're all here. It's so beautiful. And as I am so grateful to have memories of our life together before the pandemic, I am so aware that Pastor Rockford and Pastor Trey haven't made those memories yet. And they have to look out into the sanctuary or in Finn Hall, and they have to see where all of you sit. They don't have that. They don't know that. And so you and me, we have to hold on to those memories, not just for ourselves, but for those who haven't made them yet, for all of those who will come. And so that becomes a part of our prayer, that others will see what we have seen, that others will experience the wonders of God that we have experienced, and that it will be just as beautiful and full and meaningful and great for them as it has been for us. If there is deep grief in you today, then weep. And you are not alone. Weep and release the pain to God, and know that God's heart breaks with yours, and feel God's own tears rolling down your cheeks, and collect them and hold them close and be set free by them. And then when you're ready, look wide-eyed at the world, at your neighbors close by and across the globe, and see if there are some tears that God might be calling you to help wipe away. God needs your tears and your memory, not because God needs your grief, but because God needs your compassion and your hope and your willingness to offer that compassion and that hope as a gift to the world. We need to bear one another's burdens, even as we carry the weight of our own. And I do truly believe that if we allow for this time and this space to grieve together, that we will discover how powerful and how important it is for us as we look forward to all the better days that are to come, and that I know are coming soon. And so let us remember, and let us pray. Oh, holy God, we give you so much thanks for your nearness and your presence with us that connects us and binds us together, even when we can't be in the same space. And God, we see one another's faces. We remember what it's like to be in this place together, singing and worshiping and caring for one another. God, help us not to forget. Help us not to let go of those feelings, but to hold on to them and to make them our prayer for the future that is coming soon. Oh God, we pray all of this in our Savior's name. Amen. As we come to the table of the Lord today, I just want to remind you that it is our tradition here at McFarland to take up a special offering on Communion Sunday for our Thursday Utilities Assistance Ministries. Every week, people call in needing help with one of their utility bills, and we help as many people as we are able to help. And your giving is what makes that possible. So please go on to our website or go on to our app and make your special offering for our Thursday Utilities Assistance Ministry today. And as you do that, please hear Christ's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered and on these gifts of bread and wine here and in the hands and the homes of those who connect for worship this day. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. The broken bread, the body of Christ, and the blood of Christ given for you. Receive the grace of God. Meet the real presence of Jesus as you partake.
McFarland, as you go today and into this week, remember deep down that God loves you. Remember God's mercy and faithfulness, how God has sustained you in the most difficult times, and feel God holding you in the palm of his hand. Go with courage to face whatever you may be feeling, and go with the knowledge and the hope that you do not face it alone. Go in peace. Amen.